Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
I want to take a moment and talk with anyone who is having any challenges with their branding or with building an effective marketing campaign. I'm super excited that my wife, Valerie, and I have a new marketing course, an online course, that we share all of our secrets for building an effective brand and for building a marketing campaign that works and takes all the guesswork out of your marketing, provides an action plan, and gives recommendations for marketing tactics that actually get results.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, Travis Chappell, he is a networking addict that is making a difference. Travis Chappell is a direct sales expert who's built teams for several sales organizations over a few different industries and is also active in the real estate market. More recently, he has pursued his passion of helping others and founded the Build Your Network, which is a podcast dedicated to helping professionals grow their inner circle. Travis, welcome to our show today.
Derek, thanks so much for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
Networking is so important for our audience. Some of us hate the word networking, so I'm excited to digging into that a little bit more, and I know you're going to educate us today and help us. But it's so critical for many of us, for how we do sales, for how we do relationships. But before we get into that, I want to talk and just get to know you a little bit more. So can you hit some highlights for us from your early years to where you are today and just give us some highlights of your journey?
Yeah, of course. So I came from a very not traditional background, meaning that I grew up very, very religious in a Baptist type of a setting. And so I went to the same school, the same campus from kindergarten all the way up through my senior year of college, actually. So they had an elementary school, junior high, they had a high school, and they had college all on the same campus. It was kind of a mega church type situation in Southern California. And so what I was kind of in the situation where I figured that I was just going to be in some sort of ministerial position for the rest of my life when I was growing up. So I thought I was going to be some sort of a youth pastor or some type of position in that field. And when I was in college, I ended up getting a job to, you know, basically pay the bills. And it was door-to-door solar sales. And I had a buddy that pulled a couple good paychecks, and I saw how much money he was pulling in. And I was like, man, that seems really cool. I mean, I really want to try that out. And so I had him get me an interview with his supervisor. And I went and started door-to-door sales. And that was about 5 years ago when I was 19 or 20 years old. And when I first started into it, I just kind of got addicted to the fact that the thing that I love most about it is that if I outworked my coworkers, I would get paid more, which is always something that never really made sense to me in actual jobs. You know, there could be a guy sitting there working twice as hard as a guy sitting next to him, and they're getting paid the same amount of money. And I always hated that idea because I think that your work should be, you know, the amount of value that you bring should be what you get paid on. And so sales was something that I really liked because of that. So I knew that I could have higher paychecks than everybody else if I just worked a little bit harder or worked a little bit smarter or perfected my skill a little bit more. And so that's when I kind of started doing door-to-door sales. And since then, I was in a couple different solar companies as a team leader and trainer and stuff like that. And then I ended up switching to the alarm industry, the security, home security industry. And that's where I made my first six figures in a year was in door-to-door alarms, which was an experience to say the least. It was probably the coldest and hardest form of sales I've ever done, but it stretched me more than anything I've ever done as well, and allowed me to perfect a lot of those skills and abilities to be able to take them into you know, the next phase of my life. And so after I realized that was going to be done, I started doing door-to-door water systems, like water filtration, reverse osmosis, alkaline, all that kind of stuff. And after doing that for a few months, I decided to just go straight to the manufacturer and negotiated my own deal. And so now I am a dealer for a water filtration company here in Southern California. And we do business all across the country. And now I have a team of guys that I train to go door to door, and I'll still go with them and do trainings and stuff like that. Yeah, that's just a little quick snippet of my story and what's brought me to what I'm doing today.
Man, I tell you, door to door, for those that are not comfortable with it, seems like a very intimidating thing, especially now. I own an agency here. We've replaced so much of our communication with digital and automation. So help us understand networking in the digital age, and how does that transform, and how has it either hindered or how has it helped from your viewpoint?
Yeah. So, networking has always been an important aspect of life and in business. The biggest thing about that is most people look at it as it's a bad word to most people. You know, networking is kind of like a dirty word, like what we were talking about at the beginning. Like it's a buzzword. It correlates with bad ideas in somebody's head. And so bringing that into the digital age, you would think that some of that would take care of itself, but it actually has made it a lot worse, because now when you're networking with somebody online, you have the ability to reach out to so many more people than you would have been able to without, you know, Instagram direct message or Facebook groups or whatever it may be. So you're spending so much time like spamming people's inboxes and becoming that networker that nobody likes at the networking event. I call him Networking Ned. You know, the guy that shows up with like 1,000 freshly made business cards in his back pocket because he gave out all the rest of him at his last event that he went to 3 days ago. You know, so he's just the slimy guy that comes up to you, doesn't allow you to talk or speak, and then gives you a 60-second elevator pitch, throws his card in your face, moves on to the next person. Mm-hmm. And so in the digital age, networking is really I think become more of a skill that you really need to work on and acquire, because it's so easy to be that guy in a digital space when you don't even have the personal connection of looking somebody in the eye anymore. So you have to be even more careful about it. One of the best ways I've found to do that is in Facebook groups. I spend a lot of time in Facebook groups with my own Facebook group, and then also with a couple of other Facebook groups that I pick to be a part of. And I have a whole ebook on this, by the way. It's called Groupology. And if your listeners want to download it, they can go to buildyournetwork.co /FB for Facebook, buildyournetwork.co /FB. They can download a copy of that ebook, which is basically like my top 10 tips for connecting with other people in Facebook groups. So it's not for running a Facebook group, because there's a lot of guides out there on that. But I was doing research. There's no guide that helps people be a part of a Facebook group and get the most out of that group and give the most to that group. So that's kind of the resource that I created to help people better network in those group situations without being that really spammy, annoying guy that gets kicked out of the group on day two.
Right. That's great advice. So tell me, though, I mean, going door to door is tough, and that can feel spammy as well. So can sending out mass emails. So I understand the advice you're giving for Facebook and groups, but what is the balance for making meaningful connections and relationships without crossing that line of spam?
Yeah, the balance is that there isn't a balance, meaning that you should be tipping the scales in how much value that you're giving to other people. In my mind, there's not really a balance with the give and take thing. Like, you need to be so much more on the give side that the scale is just always weighing way heavy on the give side. That to me is what true networking is building relationships with other people in a way that just consistently and constantly adds value to others. Even if you don't see an upside, if you don't see a way that this is going to benefit you in the future, it doesn't matter. giving and giving and giving is always going to be a better idea than trying to measure if this person is worth giving to or if that person is worth my time. Like all of that is irrelevant. So I honestly think the balance is that there isn't a balance and you should just be focusing on giving as much value as you possibly can. Yeah, I'll give you an example. So do you know, are you familiar with John Lee Dumas and the stuff he puts out there?
Absolutely. I know that he's endorsed you. I've been a guest on his show as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll give you a quick story here about how I've been able to kind of become really good friends with John. And, so a few months ago, I saw that I was doing a little bit of traveling and I believe I was in Central America with a few of my friends, business partners and stuff. And, we were in Panama and I remember looking at John's Instagram story, and this is before I ever met the guy. I just followed his podcast and I loved it. And I wanted to emulate a lot of the stuff that he put out. And he was putting on a mastermind at his house in Puerto Rico. And so I jumped on that, and I didn't do it immediately because it was not inexpensive. I think it was about $6,500 mastermind. And then I'd have to pay for my own flight. So it ended up being about $8,000 out of pocket. And so like 2 weeks after sitting on it and thinking about it for like a couple of weeks, by the time I'd made my decision, I was sitting in an airport about to leave back to the States after I had been, let's see, in Belize. I think it was in the Belizean airport that I finally made the decision to go ahead and book that that mastermind trip. So this is what I mean by giving value. So when I went out to that trip, I think that there was one thing that differentiated my attitude coming into it more than anybody else. And that was that I did not come into that situation looking to try to make my investment make sense. Meaning like when most people spend that kind of money, they're thinking like, man, I better get so much value from this. And if I don't, I'm going to be really irritated and I'm going to talk trash. You know what I mean? Like they come into it with this, like, what can I take out of the situation to make it worth the money that I spent? And instead of coming into it with that mentality, I came into it with, hey, I need to find a way to give more value to this guy because I love what he has going on. I want to spend more time rubbing shoulders with him. And I want to be able to make an impact so where he remembers who I am out of the thousands of people that reach out to him on a daily basis. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so while we were there, I was looking for a way just to try to add some more value to the guy. And so for me, since I have a lot of experience in sales and doing like trade shows and home shows and door to door and retails and all this kind of stuff, for me, it was pretty clear when he was talking about his journal booth that he was going to be having at Podcast Movement, which is a large podcasting event that this year was in Anaheim. And he has his Freedom of Mastery journals, which are two of his core products that he sells. And he had a booth that somebody was going to be working. And so I just said, hey, man, I'd be happy to run that booth for you and sell as many journals as I possibly can. And he was like, oh, dude, that'd be really awesome. That'd be great. So I go to Podcast Movement, you know, and it's 3 days of my time, you know, which is I was probably going to go anyway. So that's a little bit irrelevant, but I didn't get to go to any of the sessions. I didn't go like learn from any of the keynotes. Like I wasn't in any of that stuff. I was standing at the booth for 3 days, like 8 hours a day on my feet behind the booth selling journals. And it was completely volunteer. I did not ask for anything or for any money or anything like that. Like I said, all of that kind of stuff, like if somebody tries to ask for money after something like that, it's just so short term. It's such short term thinking. Right. And so I just want to try to add as much value to the guy as possible. So I just said, hey, look, I'll run this event for you. And then he said, and then he was going to be speaking at Thrive, which is Cole Hatter's event in Vegas at the beginning of October. And he said, well, hey, why don't you go ahead and come out there with me for that one too? And so I let them ship me all the journals. I saved the money on shipping costs by not having to ship them back. I kept them in my garage at inventory. I drove them back home and I drove them out to Vegas. Like I did all of that. And I worked the event in Vegas, which, you know, was completely volunteer again. And it was three days of my time that I could have been using to spend on my water business and making a good amount of money because whatever time I spend with my guys always comes back. So, with my reps for my water business. So I know that if I spent that time with them, that I could have made a decent amount of money, but I was focused on giving value to somebody like John. And since then, he's introduced me to some just some awesome people. And we've actually been able to build an actual relationship, you know, like not just a mentorship type thing where I'm paying him for advice. It's not like that at all. I was at the mastermind. That's the only thing I ever paid for from him. And then everything else is just now just compounding on itself because I found a way to offer value, to somebody that, typically most people don't think about offering value to. Most people are trying to suck value out of people like that, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Drilling with questions and stuff like that. And so through all of that, I've been able to cultivate a good friendship with him. I spent a few weeks out in Australia and hung out with him at We Are Podcast, an event put out by Ronsley at Amplify out there in Australia. And so I spent some time with him out there. And then while we're at the event, some of the other, you know, best podcasters in the industry, people like Omar Zenholm from the $100 MBA show, Jordan Harbinger from Art of Charm, Michael O'Neill from Solopreneur Hour, all those kind of people I just got to hang out with and kick it with people like that for, you know, a few days because I knew John knew me, he introduced me to people was more than willing to talk me up to people that you know, typically if I were just to go shake hands with, they would have no reason to talk to me for a long period of time, you know, and it would put me in a different category in their head if I came up to them and like fangirled out over, you know, like talking to one of those guys. But instead of me fangirling and like just randomly shaking their hand and introducing myself, now it's somebody with the reputation of John Lee Dumas saying, "Hey, this is my buddy Travis. He's a cool guy. You should get to know him," type thing. And so that by itself is more valuable than anything that I could have given to him. But because I looked for a way to offer value to somebody using some sort of skill or ability that I've worked on, it's always going to come back, man.
I think that's great. I love the purity of that. And I was at Podcast Move and I actually taught a virtual course about syndicating, taking your podcast from podcast and syndicating it to radio. So, and I got to see John while I was there as well. I don't think I got to see you, but we were probably walked right by each other a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. If you came by the booth at all,
I probably met you and didn't even realize. Yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah. That was awesome. And, you know, I met Dumas through a similar thing. And so, you know, a lot of our listeners aren't able to travel the world with someone that they admire, but there's still other ways of doing it. And that's what I've learned from guys like Aaron Walker, who is a mutual friend of John Lee Dumas's and mine. And we have a practice of introducing every week without fail, I introduce two or three people to each other that I can't get anything out of, but I just want them to know each other. And people do that for me as well. And so I get thrown into the ring often with guys like John who are just being introduced to them because that's how our networks think. So I love that advice. And again, you don't have to necessarily travel the continent, but that's awesome. So let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk about some specific principles. Tell me about closing sales without being that salesperson. Tell me about some other ways of building a relationship and then going towards closing a sale.
Oh, man. Well, are you talking more in a context of just to kind of get a better idea of what your listeners would prefer. Are you talking in a context of like a door-to-door situation or like with a business that requires kind of like a long-term relationship building?
I think a business that requires long-term relationship building.
Okay. So for this, I highly recommend picking up a copy of the book Giftology by John Rulin, who's Cutco's number one salesman, like literally of all time. And he's mastered the art of gifting. And in relationship building, I think that that's an often overlooked aspect. That's just a quick little tip. That's not exactly what, you know, what my answer is, but that's just a quick tip for if you're out there and you have a relationship building business to where you have customers that come back and pay every month or every quarter or every year, and you need to maintain a good relationship with your clients, highly recommend picking up a copy of Giftology. But as far as closing a sale over a long period of time goes, the best way that I've found to go about doing that is exactly what I was talking about earlier, which is giving as much as you can to that individual. But at the same time, I would say it's giving mixed with confidence, because if you are constantly giving and you never ask for the sale and you never have the confidence that to come in and actually ask for the business, then you're not going to get anything accomplished by just creating a relationship that's ongoing if you never are bold enough and confident enough to ask for the sale. So I was reading a book recently that said that over 60% of salespeople neglect to ask for the sale. So you spend a lot of time, a lot of money, creating a presentation, working on a presentation, and memorizing a presentation. And then 60% of the time, people don't even ask for the business. So I think that there's merit to building a relationship first. But at the same time, a lot of people aren't dumb. They know that you have business to do with them. And I think a lot of people will respect the confidence and the boldness that it takes to ask. So it's really, really, really simple advice, but, never neglect to ask. And then look, if they say no, then you have time to, focus on, creating another opportunity for yourself in the future, to be able to connect with that person again, if you're actually building a relationship. But then when you meet with them again, don't forget to ask again. You know, like you cannot ever neglect to ask for the sale. And confidence in closing is probably the most important thing that you can take into any situation. And how do you get confident? The only way to get confident, in my opinion, is to be consistent. So the more consistent you are, the more confident that you'll be, because you're putting yourself in a situation to where you are now comfortable where most people are not comfortable. Most people in a closing type setting get really uncomfortable. That's when your hands start sweating. That's when your heart starts beating faster. You just did your whole presentation and now you're trying to go in for the close and now you're getting nervous and sweaty and all this other stuff. But if you do that all the time, then all of a sudden you're not the one getting nervous at the close. It's just the customer,
right?
Because the customer gets pitch stuff. They know that they know that an ask is coming. They know that the close is coming. So when they can sense that the close is coming, they start getting all nervous, and then you feed off each other's nervous energy, and it just implodes on you. So if you're the one that's calm, cool, collected, and confident in that situation because of how consistent you've been in the past, then you will, in most cases, be the one that that comes out with the outcome that you want to have in that situation. But I know that was a really long roundabout answer, but I hope that.
No, I think that's great. And you're so right that sometimes the sale is not asked for. And I share with my clients and then for our own sales team and our agencies, you know, I feel it's unconscionable for our potential clients not to know what we do, because we do offer something very unique. And if we don't let them know, and if we don't be really clear about it, then we're not doing a service to them to let them know that this is even available. So it's our mission at the right time to share. But something else that's been really big for us that's been helpful has been to have – we have a brand story, a brand video for our type of sale. And by the time we sit down with the customer for the first time, they've already done some research on us. They've watched our video. They have met our team. They know what our unique value proposition is. And we get to sit down and have a really comfortable conversation. We're not overly trying to sell ourselves those first few minutes of, here's why you can trust us and here's what makes us different. We've already done some of that. And that makes for a better, that allows us to sometimes take months off of establishing a relationship just by them seeing a video and from our email signature, from our LinkedIn messaging. You mentioned Giftology, which is a great book. We did that with our mastermind a few weeks ago. A great read for us, some great tips in there. You mentioned buildyournetwork.co/FB for Facebook for that free resource. Are there any other resources that you want to share today or any other ways that our listeners should reach out to you if they want to learn more information?
Best way to reach out to me online is typically on Facebook. I spend a lot of time on Facebook. I have been spending a lot more time on Instagram recently, which is just at Travis Chapel. And then on Facebook, it's, if you go to the actual search bar and type it in, you can search Travis Chapel or you can type in travis.chapel15, and that's my exact profile. If you want to really connect with me and get to know me, I highly just check out the Facebook group, join the Facebook group, Build Your Network Beta. You can search Build Your Network Beta in Facebook or just head over to buildyournetwork.co/FB. And, you can download that ebook to learn how to maximize connection in Facebook group, but also the link to my Facebook group is right there underneath that ebook download.
Awesome. Travis, any final words you want to share with our listeners today?
Yeah. I think my parting piece of advice, I guess, would be to never underestimate, how much you need to work on your sales ability. It's something that has taken me, in situations where people typically would not be confident, especially like at my age coming into it, it's allowed me to have that level of confidence because I know how much I've worked on that skill set, and it's one that most people don't work on. And that's why sales and networking are two things that most people do not enjoy doing, and that they're two words that most people do not enjoy saying or being around or talking about, but they are probably the two most important skill sets that you can work on throughout the course of your career. And my parting piece of advice, Derek, would just be go work on your sales however you want to do it, books, podcasts, audiobooks, conferences, events, however it is. Just don't underestimate the amount of time that you need to spend developing those abilities.
Travis Chappell, thank you again so much for being our guest, talking to us about sales and networking and building value and developing relationships, putting others first, giving them the value. Our listeners can visit buildyournetwork.co to learn more information, and we'll put the other links at the show notes. Travis, thanks again, and we look forward to seeing the next great things that you do.
Derek, really appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Take care.
I want to invite you to join me in supporting the American Diabetes Association. I've got the honor of being a Kiss a Pig candidate this year, which means I have the opportunity to help raise money for the American Diabetes Association locally. The research, the ADA has been funding innovative research to combat diabetes since 1955. And in 2011, they funded more than $35.75 million a year in research at 139 research institutions across the country. The statistics, approximately 1.25 million American children and adults have type 1 diabetes. As many as 1 in 3 American adults will have diabetes in 2050 if present trends continue. I want to invite you to join me in supporting the American Diabetes Association. You can learn more at diabetes.org or stopdiabetes.com to see how you can get involved.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.